Yeah, things are different now. Something happened to me when Jesus passed by. I've got some thoughts that I pinned down, and I just want to go over a few of these things with you. I think it'll be a help to you. I want to just give you some things that as I was thinking about looking over the life of David, we talked a little bit about those formative years. Tonight we'll look a little deeper into that, and then we'll end with those fleeing years. There's just some times in David's life that God chose to record for us that we can learn from some of the experiences in his life. And of course, I've told you before, when you read in Samuel and Kings and Chronicles, you kind of get the outside. You get the story from the outside. But then when you get over into the Psalms, which are experiential books that tell of people's experience, that's why there's a lot of experiences in those books of Psalms, you kind of get the inside. You get the heart of the man from David. We see the action that was taking place and some of the events that took place in the Samuel and the Kings and the Chronicles. But when you get in the Psalms, David lets you into his heart as God would allow it. And he tells us some of the things that he was going through in his heart during the times that he was in those caves and he was fleeing from Saul and when he was there with Abiathar. I mean, it's just a wonderful thing that God has given us in his word of life experiences. And that's why it just really does us good to study God's word so that we could have wisdom and we could have resources to help us really in every part of our lives. I want you to think about this as we think about David. Now, we all are aware of David and Goliath and how that God raised up David. He had sent Samuel. We remember we talked about how that Samuel went to his father's house and he kind of evaluated his sons. And then he said, well, is this it? And he said, well, no. He said, I've got one more. You know, he's keeping the sheep. And, you know, just a little sheep keeper. I don't know that he could really be of help to anybody. You know what? You never know who God's going to use. There may be somebody here tonight. And I mean this now. I met with a family this weekend. And I told this family this. I said, you know, I'm sitting here talking to you right now. And I'm talking to you about getting on track and getting in church and serving God with your life. You may be teachers in a church one day. And listen, brethren, you never know what God's going to do with a life. Amen. You never know. Right. And there may be somebody here that God wants to propel you into ministry. God wants to use you in his service. All right? So don't ever underestimate what God wants to do in your life. That's one of the things that we learn from David. Let me give you just a few things that I pinned down. I hope you'll at least try to keep them in your mind. You stay busy where you are, and God will get you where he wants you to be. You know, I look back at David's life, and it's just mentioned over and again. I just want to point it out to you, and you look into it, okay? David just stuck with the sheep, all right? I mean, that's the job that God had given him to do. And it doesn't sound like a big thing, but I'm going to tell you something. God done some things in that private time when David was on the backside of a mountain and those private experiences that he was able to put on public display in his life. And David brought it up. He said, listen, he said, I was keeping the sheep. And he said, there's a bear and a lion. And he said, God, you know, God gave me the victory over them. He said, he's going to give me the victory over this Philistine too. Amen. So God takes those private, listen to me now. Those private devotions, those private times that you think, well, nobody knows about this. God's listening, and God's watching, and God's building, and God's preparing. He's preparing you for something he has for your life. You say, I don't know what it is. Well, God knows what it is, and he'll reveal it in you. And so we see where David was left over the sheep. Just turn to a couple of these scriptures, if you would. Chapter 16, just turn there. If we don't get anything else tonight, I want you to understand the importance of the small task. See, I think sometimes that we as Christians, we think, well, you know, I want to be on the platform or I want to have a title. Well, there's nothing wrong with platforms. There's nothing wrong with titles. There's nothing wrong with being a leader. Listen, God needs leadership. And God wants us to model and God wants us to mentor leadership. But now that's not where you start. And David started when Samuel visited the house of his father. Look in chapter 16, and if you'll look in verse number 11, Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. You know, I mean, he's just, He's just a little sheep keeper. And that may seem so insignificant. And then you know the story, how they said, well, send and fetch him. And you know, as God would have it, he was the man. And Samuel anointed him this day. He anointed him to be king this day. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment now. So here you are, a young man. Some people estimate that David was somewhere around anywhere from 16 to 19 years old during this time. So here you are, a young man, ruddy, the scripture says. And you get brought in, and here's the man of God, the prophet of God, Samuel, saying, you're the one. God's going to use you as the king. God's going to found him a man after his own heart, and you're it. And the scripture says, look here now, in the latter part of verse number 12, and the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So here's the situation. Here's a little shepherd boy. He's out doing his job. He's out doing his task. And God sent the man of God to the house of Jesse. And you know the story how he evaluated them. And surely everyone thought it was going to be one of his brethren. But it wasn't. David was the man that God chose. And so Samuel anointed him there. So what do you think David did? Walked around with his chest off. Oh, yeah. Man of God came to my house. I'm in charge now. He anointed me the king. You know what David did? Look in the Bible, if you would, at verse number 19. Samuel, give you a little backdrop on this. In verse number 17, he said unto his servant, look in verse number 17. He said, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. And they said, well, you know, there's one of those servants said unto him, he said, I have been the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing. Now, here's a man, listen, he was using the gifts and the abilities, David now. The word was getting out. This young man is preparing himself for something big. You want to do something big for God? Prepare. Amen. Prepare. Prepare for God to use you. Pray for God to use you. God wants to use you. Amen. And David didn't just sit around and say, well, I'm waiting on something big. No, David got busy with what God had given him to do. As a matter of fact, when God had made him the king, God made him the king now. Listen to me. The man of God, God Almighty, sent a man of God and made him the king. The king of the greatest nation on the face of the earth, God's people, Israel, the king. You know what David did? Look in verse number 19. Samuel said, I want somebody to play music for me. They said, well, you know, we heard about this guy up here at the house of Jesse. And look what it said. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son. Look at that next phrase. David got anointed as king and he didn't went back doing his job. Amen. Don't you ever think anything small in God's work. Don't you ever think now that God's not watching those small tasks. You're not going to be faithful. I'm not going to be faithful in the many things if I can't be faithful in a few things. That's what the book teaches, brethren. Say, well, preacher, nobody's watching. God's watching. God's watching. God's keeping the records. And so here's David. And the Bible just keeps saying it, all right? If you look over in verse number, chapter 17 and verse 15, David went and returned from Saul to what? Look at it, chapter 17, verse 15. David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. He took it serious. He took it serious. It was a task that he had been given. And just because he had been made the king doesn't mean that he was going to shirk that responsibility. And you just find this all through. Even when his father sent him to his brethren, look down if you would in verse number 20, David rose up early in the morning and he left the sheep with the keeper. I tell you, this just says a lot about the character of a young man. God is looking for young men, young women, men and women of character, resolve, preparation, people that want to do something for the Lord. So as time would have it, you stay busy where you are. Say, well, I don't want to feed the sheep. I want to slay the giants. You know what? You stay busy where you are, and God will put you before a few giants so you can trust him to slay them for you. I want to be on the big stage. I want to be out there where everybody's watching. The army's over here, you know. They're camped out, and the army's over here. They're camped out, and here's Goliath. I mean, the stage was set. But I want to tell you something. David was ready. He was ready. You know why? Because David didn't take anything too small in life that he didn't take seriously. He said, I want to prepare myself. I want to finish my task. I want to stick with what God's given me. Now listen, this is missing in our society today. And I don't want it to be missing here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and I don't want it to be missing in your family, and I don't want it to be missing in my family. So God help us now to be faithful with the task that God's given us. All right? That's the first thing. The second thing, I find in chapter 17 that some folks are giant dominated. But there was one there that was God dominated. You know, in life, you get to choose. You can either be giant dominated and say, well, I know, it's too hard. We'll never build on the property. The economy's this, and this administration that's in office because of COVID or this, we'll never build on the new property. You can be giant dominated if you want to. I'm going with God. I want to be God dominated. Well, he's a big giant. He's not bigger than God. Well, he's bigger than me. Well, he's not bigger than your God. Amen. Amen. You see, we get to make that decision. And this is a great truth for us to learn. The whole crowd there, you know the story in chapter 17. It's one of the longest chapters in the Old Testament. And you know the account. You know the narrative. I don't have to go through it again. David went and he said, hey, is there not a cause? What's going on up here? You know, act like this giant's in charge. Hey, this giant's not in charge. The God of heaven's in charge. Amen. Amen. Right. He's the one in charge. So listen, the folks up the road's not in charge, brethren. Listen to me now. I'm not trying to cause an insurrection or I'm just trying to get us on the same page of this book right here. The folks down the road are not in charge. They're not. There's a God in heaven who's in charge. He's going to determine what we do, how we do it, when we do it, and with what resources we do it. And so that's something I learned from this. All right, I learned that you know, we can either be giant dominated or God dominated. I'm going with God. I'm going with God. Let me give you a couple of more, and then I want to get to this thing about friendship. I'm just going to give you a few things that I want you to go home and look at, and I'll preach the message to you another time, okay? Well, David had a history with God. Past circumstances should influence present circumstances. Or could I put it this way? Past victories ought to build faith and confidence for present and future victories. We see this in chapter 17 in verse 37, where David, and I've already mentioned it, where he said, you know what? He said, I fought lions, bears. Bring the giant on. Amen. God gave me victory. And the God that gave me the victory over the bear and the lion, he's going to give me victory over this Philistine. As a matter of fact, look if you would in verse number 46. David said, this day will the Lord deliver thee in mine hand. That doesn't sound like somebody who's doubting, who's wondering what the outcome's going to be. He was absolutely sure what was going down this day. Would to God he would put that faith in you and I. And we can have it. It's available to us. Amen. God done something for you? You know he has. If you're saved in the grace of God, he's done the greatest thing he'll ever do for you. Amen. And how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Amen. Listen, God's working from the greater to the lesser. Right. You better believe it. When you got saved in the grace of God, there's nothing greater that's going to happen to you in your life. Everything from here is lesser. And so you say, well, I'm looking for God to do something big. Listen, if you're saved, it's not going to get any bigger than that. Say amen with me, folks. See, we need to get the record straight. And David
He drew on those past victories, and he said, that same God that was with me, I'm just sure he's going to be with me now and moving forward. Can I tell you it's that way with us too?
Amen.
It is. And so thank God for that. Basically what David was saying, I wrote this down. David said, I have a history with God, and I like the way it panned out. Can I tell you I have a history with God? I got saved in 1980. I have a history with God. If you're saved, you have a history with God. It's a good history.
Amen.
It's a good history.
Yeah.
I have no reason to wake up tomorrow with doubt and dismay and fear. And listen, I have no reason to do that. I've got a good history with the God of heaven.
Amen.
God has been good to me. God has met every need that I have.
Amen.
And so we have no reason to quake and shake and wonder and wring our hands.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So yeah. God help us now.
Amen.
So that's just a few things that I out of this point moving forward. Now, here's what God does, and I want to give you this because I'm just amazed. Shouldn't be. But I'm amazed at how good God is. I'm just amazed. So God's going to protect this young man now. Now, here's the young man. And I want you to take great comfort in this. Here's a young man that God has brought up, and he's kind of groomed him along the way, and he's worked with him. He's worked with him on the backside of the hillside when he was keeping the sheep, and he's just brought him along, put him on the big stage. All right, I mean the big stage, man. Listen, there's very few people that come in and leave this world without knowing about David and Goliath. You listening? They may not know some of these Bible stories. And some of them may say, well, I don't believe the Bible and I don't want to hear the Bible. But you get to talking about David and Goliath, and I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that will perk up. They know about David and Goliath. God put this young man on the big stage. All right? But God said, now I've got to do something to help him out because God knew what was coming. Sometimes when you get on the big stage, it's kind of like overnight success. I mean, this guy, David, he went from the house of Jesse that he was almost overlooked. Had Samuel not said, now, is this it? Right? Is this all? Well, yeah, well, there is my young, he's out with the sheep. You see what I'm saying? And he went from that to we're still talking about it thousands of years later. And so that's kind of an overnight success. And sometimes that can get to a man. And God knows this. So what do you do when God begins to work in your life and God begins to bless you and God begins to use you and God begins to get involved and you see the hand of God in your life and he's blessing you and things are happening? Then what do? Well, you're going to need a friend. And God knew that. God knew some things that was ahead of David. David didn't know, but God did. And so I want you to watch what God does here. What a wonderful thing. I was just reading this casually, and I'm telling you, God just said, look at there, would you? I said, amen. It might not mean nothing to you, but I can tell you right now, it paused my study time. The scripture says, at the end of chapter 17, the scripture says that when David, verse 57, you there? You know this story, how that after David slew Goliath, Saul said, who is that guy? Amen. Who is that? Who's stripling, he said. Verse 56, the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul. And the scripture says, he brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou? Thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Now, I thank God for, I've said this before and I just want to make this very clear. I thank God for chapter divisions. I thank God for numbering the verses. Could you imagine me trying to navigate you through the scripture without chapter and verses? Amen. Let's see, turn about halfway through Samuel. I mean, my goodness. To get you to chapter 18. But I want you to notice the way chapter 18 begins because there's really no change of pace. This is the same conversation going on. So here is David and Saul and Abner and Saul and Abner's having this conversation and then Saul starts having this conversation with David. as God would have it, or as Brother John and I joke a lot, by coincidence, by happenstance. I tell you, I can't help but smile when somebody says that. What a coincidence. There are no coincidences. God orders all. Look in chapter number 18, verse 1. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul. So they're having this conversation, David and Saul, and of course Abner was involved. And when he came to pass it, when he had made an end, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. God had Jonathan standing there to hear this because God said, Jonathan, that's the man I want you to help right there. That's your man. Who is God put in your heart to help? You say, well, God doesn't want me to help anyone. Oh, you're missing it. You're missing it. God wants all of us to help someone. Aren't you glad for the people that God has put in the pathway of your life to help you? Can I tell you that same God will put you in the pathway of someone else's life to help them? He will. So I want to give you some things about a friend, and then we'll pick up on this next week. So how do you get a friend? I spoke to our chapel last week, and this is a question I asked them. How do you get a friend? Well, Proverbs 18, verse 24 says that if a man's to have friends, he must show himself friendly. I want you to watch what Jonathan does. Jonathan initiates this friendship. Okay? God put it on his heart. Jonathan was standing by, and God put David in his heart and said, that's your man right there. That's your man. That's who I want you to help. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail with this, but I want to really encourage you to go home and read this. I'm telling you right now. See, David was a man after God's own heart. But if you'll read 1 Samuel 14, you'll find out Jonathan loved God too. He did. That's one of the things I want to remind you about friends. You choose friends that love God. See, David loved God, but Jonathan did too. You get you some people that love God around you. Amen. It's very important that the people that you choose to be friends with love God. Your friend ought to make you better. Amen. Friends ought to make you better people. And so the scripture says here that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. David, or Saul, verse number 2, took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan, David, made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Now, how many of you know what that covenant was? Did you know the Bible tells us what that covenant was? I shouldn't throw those things on you. Say, I've been studying. You say, preacher, you've been reading this. I've been over in Colossians somewhere, and you're trying to ask me questions out of 1 Samuel. Amen. It's quite a covenant. We'll look into it, but I want to just tell you what it is because it just challenged me to the core. There's a little hint in verse number 4. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword, to his bow, and to his girdle. Jonathan said, you're the man. Now, who was Saul's oldest? Jonathan. Jonathan was in line to be the king. You talking about a friend now. Are you listening to me? Here's a man who said, I'm giving up my right to the throne. You're the man. The only thing I'm asking is that you let me be second. Did you know? I'm telling you what the Bible says. It's in chapter 23. Well, let's just look at it. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know about that preacher. Well, I'm just telling you, the Bible says so. The Bible's always right. Amen. Chapter 23. And I thought about this, all right? I thought about this. I thought, what a friend. Friend, listen, it costs something to be a friend. Now, listen, you gain a lot from a friend. But now it's going to cost you to be a friend. That's right. You get you some friends that's willing to pay a price. Don't get those fair-weather friends. They're not willing to pay anything. They're in it for what they can get. That's not a friend. You get you a friend who has your best interest in mind. Are you listening? See, that's a friend. When you've got a man that'll say, I am in line to be king by law, I am the oldest son of the sitting king, the prince. I'm in line. He's gone, I'm up. But you meet a man and God puts it in your heart and says, no, that's the man right there. You say, you know what? God chose you. I'm behind you 100%. No envy. Listen. No envy, no jealousy, no strife. You're the man, and I want to back you 100%. The only thing I ask now, let's make a covenant, that when you become king, I'll be the second command. Watch what he said. Look at this covenant. You in chapter 23? Look at verse number 16. Chapter 23 and verse number 16. The scripture says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Now, you need to get you a friend that'll do that too. Amen. Somebody, when you're being chased and you're being hunted and you're being threatened and you don't know how things are going to turn out, somebody will come to you and they'll strengthen your hand in God. You look that up and you go back, and what it really means is it's like he took David's hand and put it in God's hand. Amen. What a friend. What a friend. Then verse number 17, and said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. He said, Dad knows what's going down. He don't like it, but he knows what's going down. And he said, you're going to be the king, David. I don't have a problem with that. The only thing I'm asking is that I'll be next. Look at it in the latter part there of verse number 17. He said, you're going to be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. I'm going to be the second command. It's a covenant that they made. Now, unfortunately, Jonathan didn't get to live out that. He got killed in battle. But he meant it with all of his heart, because David was his friend. David was a man that Jonathan wanted to help, and he wanted to see that he fulfilled God's purpose in his life. So you be that kind of friend. Don't be one of these jealous friends. Saul was a jealous man. Jealousy is, listen, it's as cruel as the grave. Envy will destroy your life. Now hear me. We have people sitting in our Baptist churches, and somebody get up and sing, and they get so jealous. You ought to be ashamed of yourself if you're that way. I don't think you are. I don't. Somebody get up and preach a better message than me. I'm going to get jealous and envious and try to tear them down. I'm going to be saying amen the loudest. Praise God, they're serving Jesus. We're on the same team, amen. We're trying to accomplish the same mission. We're not in competition. Well, to build one another up. That's what friends do, brethren. That's what friends do. So, well, they got more recognition than me. Well, here's a young man that was in line to be the king. And he said, no, I want to listen respectfully, say, you're the man. And I'll stand right beside you. What a friend. What a friend. I want me a friend like that. I've got a few. But you know what? More importantly, I want to be a friend like that. How about you? Let me give you one more truth. This thing about the friendship of David and Jonathan, I've been diving into a little bit. It's challenging me. It is. I have sat and wept reading this stuff. Brethren, it's real. Life is short. I don't want to go through life fighting with everyone, bickering and battling. Listen, I'll fight for truth. I'll stand for truth to the day I die by the grace of God. But I refuse to split hairs over indifference and things that mean nothing.
Right. Amen.
I refuse. I'm going to stand for this book. I'm going to stand for my Savior. I'm going to stand for what's right by the grace of God. But I want to be your friend. I want to be a friend to this community. I want people to know that the Pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church will be my friend. I'm going to preach against sin. You say, well, you did that this morning. I'm going to do it every time God tells me to. But that doesn't mean I can't be your friend. I can't love you and I can't minister to you with a kind heart and a caring heart. Let me give you this last thought that I had written down here. So here's David, and we'll go back to chapter 19 for this final thought. And there's so much more here. But I said I was going to be brief, and I want to keep my word for once on being brief, that is. Friendships matter, brethren. I just can't tell you. We talked about the man of Gadara this morning. You know, if we're not careful, we'll think, well, you know what, that was just about him. Oh, no. No, no. You don't go to heaven alone. You go to heaven, you're going to take some people with you. You go to hell, unfortunately, you're going to take some people with you. You get out in sin, you're going to drag some people out with you. But now if you'll do right and be a friend and try to mentor and help people, thank God you can be an impact and make a difference on people's lives. Listen, no man liveth unto himself. No man dieth unto himself. Romans 14:7. We're not in this alone. What we do impacts other people. So what do you do when someone attacks your friend? I want to show you what a friend does. A friend like Jonathan. You're in chapter 19. We're all going to have this to happen. Somebody's going to come up and they're going to start talking about your friend. You've got a decision to make. Okay? You have a decision to make. I don't mean violent now. I'm not talking about rolling up your sleeves and duking it out. But you can just say, oh, right there now. That's my friend. That's my friend. And you may feel that way. And if you've got that to say, you might need to go to him, but don't come to me with that. In case you want me to go with you. We can get this settled. Right? I'm talking about real friendships. The way Christians ought to be. Find you a Christian friend. Find you somebody that wants to do right and live right. Amen. You don't have to, listen, you don't have to get down in the dregs to find a friend. There's enough good Christian folks to have a friend. And the scripture said here in chapter 19 that Saul, I just wish I had time to go into all this. This is great stuff. I tell you, you know, the women were singing, you know, and Saul got all jealous and God said, well, you know what? He said, I knew this was going to happen, David. That's why I got you a friend. Amen. You know the story. The women were singing, you know, Saul killed his 1,000, but David killed his 10,000. Boy, I'm telling you, Saul, he got upset. And God said, don't worry, I got you a friend. I got you a friend. He just so happens to know Saul. A little bit. I got you a friend in place, David. Can I tell you, God will get you a friend in place too. I'm talking to you about the providence of God. Don't miss it. Brethren, God orders the affairs of man. Look at chapter 19, verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. I think Saul meant business. And then verse number 2, but Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. He said, nah, we're not going to do that now. That's my friend. Look what happens. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in secret, a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that will I tell thee. Now, watch this. Saul said, I don't like David. I'm going to kill him. Jonathan said, I like David. Now, Jonathan's putting it on the line right here. He's talking to the king. And John said, I like David. And I think you're wrong about David. Look at verse 4. Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul. You know, a person will speak good about you behind your back. That's your friend. When everybody's tearing you down and talking trash, and somebody says, you know what? I think he's a good man. I think she's a good gal. Now, she's not perfect. He's not perfect. But he's my friend, and he's helped me. He's been there for me, or I know for a fact that this and that. And so maybe you had a bad experience, and if you did, you might ought to go to him. But I haven't had the experience you're speaking of. This is what David's doing. Jonathan's doing. Look at it. Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul, his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee were very good. David's been good to you, father. Why are you so angry at David? Could it be you're jealous and you're envious and you're upset because God took his hand off of your life and put his spirit on David's life? Maybe you're jealous of David because of what God's doing in his life and he's not doing it in your life. That might be the reason some folks are jealous in our lives. Might be the reason we're jealous in our lives. I don't know. I'm just telling you, the Bible has something to say about friendship. You speak well of your friend. God honors that. And it'll be a friend for life. Finally, in verse number 5, he said, "For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and did rejoice. And didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against the innocent blood and slay David without a cause?" Now it changed Saul just for a moment, and I'm going to close right there. Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. Now what am I to learn from this? So much. So much am I to learn from this. But I learned this, brethren. A word, a good word, spoken in season like this, it's refreshing. And sometimes God would call upon me and God would call upon you to say, "Hey, don't forget now what that person done for you. It hadn't been that long ago. Here you are wanting to tear down this person, and I know for a fact it hadn't been that long ago this person was helping you. Why aren't you here telling me about that?" Amen?
Amen.
We forget real quick, don't we, brethren? We do. We're quick to forget. And so choose good friends. Be a good friend. All right? Be a friend to people. Knit your heart. Let God knit your heart. God can do it. He can. So I don't have any friends. Well, the Bible says, as I said, if a man's to have friends, he must show himself friendly. And as we go through this, we're going to find that iron sharpeneth iron. And so a friend sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. There's times when you ought to be able to sit down and just be honest with your friend now. We find this conversation between David and Jonathan. This is tremendous friendship. As far as I can tell, it might be the most beneficial friendship in all the Bible, other than as we stand to our feet. There's one friendship that's greater than David and Jonathan. And I wish I could sing. I'd just break out singing. I'd be the singing preacher tonight. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what a friend. You know, God has given me some good friends in life. He really has. I thank God for my friends. I don't ever want to take them for granted. I don't ever want to overlook the fact that God has placed friends in my life that have helped me and that have been there and that have supported me and encouraged me. And like Jonathan did, David, put my hand in God's hand when I was weak and when I was hurt. I thank God for people like that. Don't you? I thank God. But can I tell you, even when my earthly friend, my human friend, couldn't be there, Jesus has never let me down. He's a friend that truly sticketh closer than a brother. He's your friend too. I hope you realize the friend you have in Jesus. He's not only our Savior, he's our friend.
Amen.
I'm glad he's a friend of sinners, aren't you?
Amen.
Jesus is a wonderful friend. Be a good friend. Find you somebody and knit your heart with them. God will do it for you now. He will. Don't run from it. Be willing to run to it. There's few things that are established upon this earth greater than a great friendship. Let's bow our heads together.